At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blowed his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Today we have Kelly on the show. Kelly, is it Holly? H-A-W-L-E-Y, Holly? Am I pronouncing
that's
it right?
That's what it is, Holly.
Okay.
It's funny because everybody asks that and I'm like, I don't know, Holly, what's the
Yeah. I just met a lady, her first name is Holly and she spells it just like your last name. And I wasn't sure. I was like, is it Holly or like Haw-ly? And I was just like, it just threw me off. So I just wanted to make sure I wasn't pronouncing it wrong.
It's half the time people call me Holly, you know, when gotcha. You have the name Kelly Holly, they just hear the emphasis on Holly. So I'm whatever you want to call me, it's good.
I always love people with two first names. So so you are, are you the head of the ship when it comes to Warrior Bride Ministries?
Yeah, I'm the founder and whatever you want to call me, executive director and minister and you wear a lot of hats when it's a small ministry.
I totally understand that. I'm trying to, it's funny because I'm trying to give some of my hats away to other people. Like, here, you do this, you do that. And I'm like, here, do this. And they're like, well, what's this hat called? I'm like, I don't know. It's just a hat that I always wear. Just take it off my head, you know?
Exactly.
So, we'll figure it out later. Warrior Bride Ministries. Can you tell us about it and how did it get started?
So I have been ministering to the sexually abused for about 20 years. I myself was sexually abused as a child. And you know, it's one of those things that once the Lord heals you from it, he often places you in a position to help others. So, once I truly met the Lord and become born again, I just got very serious about it and went into major, studying and healing and all of that. And once I got to a certain point, he released me to start serving. And one of the places was for sexually abused. So for about the last 20 years, we've been doing healing weekends and things of that sort. Now, the first 10 years, it was more of a part-time. I was still in corporate America and it was more part-time weekends, things of that sort. And I was with another ministry that I met a lady in the Bible study and she was about to start the ministry. So I came beside her. It lasted for about 10 years. Then the enemy brought it down. But by that time, a lot of people had known me as somebody that will help with healing. And they needed a place. There's so little space made for them that they didn't have places to go. So they would show up at my house. They would just show up wherever I was praying in different gatherings with Christians where you'd pray and worship and things like that. They show up. So eventually it got to the place where the Lord was like, get an office. because I would be meeting people in parks, sneaking in prayer rooms, you know, just all kinds of things, trying to find a space. So eventually, and that was about maybe almost about 6 years ago that I actually got a place and made it official, you know, officially became a 508c1a, and then also have a we have a space on a 501c3 just in case anybody wants to ever donate housing, because the survivors need housing so bad while they walk through their healing. So it just kept kind of growing and growing. At first, I was doing more deliverance, also, you know, walking beside them some, but it was more focused on deliverance. But then as I realized, these people have not had the same experience I had. I had what's become more commonly known in terms of, like, you know, the coach, the preach, the teacher, whatever, and it's more based on perversion. But as I got more and more into it, I learned, okay, wait a minute, not everybody had the same kind of experience as me. A lot of these girls have been trafficked. So then I had to figure out what additional do they need for the trafficking. And then after that, I started getting a lot of them from all over, really even the world, that had these other stories that to me just seemed unbelievable. And this was probably 10, 11 years, maybe even longer, actually, about 11 years ago, that they started telling me these stories about what ultimately ended up being ritual abuse. And there was a lot of manifestations. There was a lot of craziness that I just didn't understand what was going on. So I tried to find anybody that could help me with what is the reality here? What does the Lord want me to do about this? There's next to nobody back then, but I did find Kay Tolman, who is an SRA survivor. And she had just started her ministry, really, and had some training and intensive. So a group of us went across the country to sit in her class, and we were just, you know, eyes wide open, just drinking from a fire hose. It was just a lot, and we were like, you know, whoa. But we got the material, we took in what we could, and then the Lord started in his grace unfolding in bite sizes that I could understand and I could receive. And I just, you know, kept walking it out with the survivors while looking for others to help me confirm that I was doing the right thing, I was hearing correctly. He did connect me with a wonderful gentleman, Roger Bowman, and he had been doing this work. He was like a psychiatrist that was doing this work for about 30 years or something. And so it was like, oh my gosh, yes. And he was able to confirm so much. Now he, because of things have evolved over the few over the last few years, the light's been shined more on things. He did not understand mind control and the experimentations and all that, but he did understand DID, which is dissociative identity disorder, and ritual abuse. So I was able to gain a lot from him. But then I was getting a lot of people that had even more than ritual abuse, which ultimately ended up being the mind control and the experimentation. So again, I kept looking, trying to see if anybody can help me, you know, because I was kind of a little bit of an island on my own. And then I did connect with Gina Phillips, and she's taught at several of my conferences. We do have an annual conference. We just had our fifth annual one. And so I got to glean from her some, and then the Lord would send me somebody else, Dr. Tom Knotts, and I would be able to glean from him. And then some of my clients were, you know, so high up that they knew, because they were on the inside, they were survivors. And so they knew, you know, a lot of it, and I would learn a lot from them. So the way it's evolved is now today we do about maybe 150 clients a year, and about 1,000 hours of individual sessions, and probably 1,000 hours of group sessions, all free of charge, because they don't have the money. You know, by the time they get to us, they're broken. Not that everybody who's a survivor of this is broken. So that's not an indicator that they are a survivor, because a lot of these people have been groomed since birth to be in high positions. Like they're very strategic, very organized. And so it could be the very top of our, those making decisions for our country. It could be the pharmacist. It could be the mailman. It could be the doctors, the nurses. I mean, they are in positions where a lot of them are functioning very well, but typically they're not coming to me if they're functioning very well, because their system, what I call a system that's been set up, has not started breaking down yet. So does that make sense?
Absolutely. And so I'm trying, you said a lot here, and I was trying to keep up with taking these notes down, because I figured if you're in, like you said in the beginning, sexual abuse cases, and you're in a ministry and you call it a ministry, I assumed at some point you were going to come across, SRA, satanic ritual abuse, and trafficked individuals, and the rabbit hole goes deeper and deeper. And something you mentioned just a second ago about being groomed since birth. I started looking up and I couldn't get there before I had to start talking here, but Elon Musk, that name just popped in my head, just because there are conspiracies about him. And what I was trying to look up was the whole thing behind his name, because his first two letters is L. And then there's a whole, like, I don't want to call it conspiracy, because in the sense of like I feel like if I say there's a conspiracy theory about his name, people are gonna be like, oh, that it's almost like derogative, like, anymore. But it's just like, there's a theory that there was a conspiracy involving his name. And so, I get the sense that there's more to somebody like him than meets the eye. And I think even what we would call the normies could sense that too. They just don't know. They don't know where to look. I hardly know where to look. But there's that idea that's like, this dude, what are the odds that his name is Elon? He becomes the richest man in the world. He's supposedly this genius, and he has this rocket company, and he's doing all this different stuff. It's just like, what are the odds that all that happens by chance? And so that comes into play with the idea of grooming, or maybe even mind control. But so you said you started with all this in the earlier days, and it basically, it essentially starts with your own abuse and then wanting to help other people. What part of this process did you start saying, what I experienced and what I set out to do to help people, this is way deeper than what I'm used to or what I understand. And what was that kind of situation? Like, was it a person that came up that just like, this is different,
Yeah. Well, it was probably about 11 years ago. And we were just getting these stories, when people will share their stories, they were just, stories that are very shocking, and there was commonality to it. And then at some of the healing weekends, we actually had people levitate and stuff. And, you're just like, wait a minute, what's going on here? How do I need to handle this? What do you want me to do, Lord? Because obviously you're calling me to do something. But I don't know this, I don't know what to do about this. Now, there was a certain point where, and I don't know, it was maybe around the same time, probably around the same time, very similar, 11 years ago or so, that I did have an encounter with the Lord. And there was a clear filling of the Spirit or an anointing or something. And then afterwards, when I prayed for people, a lot of times they would be delivered, in more of a demonstrative way. And so I was also
are you saying that basically there would be an exorcising of demons, like casting out demons while you're praying for them?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, not every single time, but yeah, a lot more than it was before. And so, you know, again, you're like, okay, what is this? Because the church isn't teaching this stuff, right? Like, you know, what is going on here? And, but there is a whole, there was people that were teaching it, you know, Derek Prince, Wilkerson, you know, some of them. And so I started learning, you know, I started finding the people that did know what this was and didn't understand. So I, you know, became a student of what is this that's going on and what can I do about it and how can I help, that kind of thing.
That's interesting. So you're praying for people and you're seeing demonic manifestations. Did you understand how, like, just, let's just say, because this is such a layered thing, right? Let's just say sexual abuse in the sense that, Uncle Joey abused me when I was a kid. A case like that in the early days, were you back then still looking at this stuff as this is a demonic thing that's happened? Or were you more looking at it as people are mentally unstable and they're doing heinous things and the people who are victims of it need healing? Like, was there ever a point in time where you felt like you crossed this line of, like, because I'm assuming now it's like, I mean, for me, as somebody who doesn't even, you know, work with victims like you do, I look at all of it, I'm like, this is all demonic. it's all demonic. But I mean, that does go against traditional medicine. And it, like, because people, like secular therapists and things like that would say, oh, well, you know, these are mentally unstable people and they need as much help as the victims need and stuff, which I'm not saying they do or don't. What I would say is that the people who are performing these acts, whether there's a family history of it and it's learned behavior, it's also passed on trauma through demonic possession and demonic influences in people's families. And was that something that you understood from the beginning?
No, from the beginning until I got my healing. And then he took me through different steps of learning. You know, I was just broken and I tried everything in the world to try to heal that brokenness. Some things looked really good to the world. It could have been like workaholic. I was a workaholic. I was very successful. I was, you know, a perfectionist. I was all these things and they look good to the world, but they aren't. Like, there's a reason why somebody is a workaholic. There's a reason why somebody is controlling or perfectionist and all that. It's from a wound. And any wound like that, the enemy takes advantage of it and resides in there. It's like an open door. So after I tried everything and I hit my rock bottom, you know, I fell on my knees and cried out, and he met me and then took me on a journey. So then, you know, as I started learning, at first I thought that was just perversion. You know, I thought that perversion, which we know is rampant, right? Which perversion is an entity. But I didn't know that then. I just, you know, thought perversion, like, look at pornography, the way it's so rampant. That is connected to an entity of perversion, which is rampant in the world. But as I learned, and as you would see the demonic manifest and all that, and I would, you know, become a disciple of those who were before me on this and knew this stuff, I learned that, yeah, there's entities and there's deliverance that needed. But I was for a while under more of the belief that it's more the basic deliverance. Like, you do these things and, you know, you see manifestation and deliverance. Now, that can give you a layer of deliverance, of freedom. But what happens often is the big principalities are just pushing out the popcorn demons, the littler ones, the less powerful ones, and to make you think that you've dealt with this and you move on. But the truth is, most of these are ancient roots that come down from the bloodline. See, and in the kingdom of darkness, they want to build the iniquity and the transgression in the bloodline because that gives them power and position and things of that sort. you know, it's almost like in our bloodline, the thing that would bless me the most is if my children became true pastors or true, you know, missionaries and evangelists, like the building of the purity of the light within my bloodline. That would bless me the most. That is what I would want. But what they want is the iniquity built up, because there is power in it. The power is not as powerful as Yeshua, but there is power, and there are deals made. Like there is a, hey, you know, make a deal. If you want to be famous, I'll make you famous, but you're going to pay the piper later. Like I'm going to make you whatever, kill somebody, whatever it is. So it is a war between good and evil. And they are a very formidable opponent. And most people are, I mean, there is an awakening going on, but most people are just blind to this. It's like they're in a war that they are blind, or they're sleeping. They have no equipment. They haven't put on their armor. They haven't prepared their vessels.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.